The Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording.
Good afternoon. We haven't prepared for this at all, so just so you know, we don't have any notes, we don't have a PowerPoint. Oh, Trish did make notes. But don't panic. Our preparation started a long time ago with our six-year-old daughter starting to be educated at home. So we'll share some of that journey with you. I grabbed the mic right away because this is the only time I'm gonna get to use it. Trish is the one that said that we do this session, and I said, well, I'll just tag along because like I don't really have anything to offer. But the tears, I just do want to comment on the tears. Like, there was very little tears in Trish's memory of the home education process because she did the bulk of it up until 2014. And then she decided we weren't having any more kids, and she just really needed to be around kids again. So she started catching babies, and I haven't seen that much of her, well, as much of her in the last 10 years. But anyway, the tears really began when she left and I began to be the guy, right? And I've shared this at other sessions, but she was gone the first day and got back from her day's work, and she said to the kids, like, so how did it go? And they were just panicked. Dad said we can only have one cup of tea a day. That's too much caffeine. Because they were just going for the tea, like, just, well, gave them coffee, right? You got a coffee in the morning, and now you want tea three times a day. It's like, you guys are going to be jacked right up. Like, you can't do that. And so she calmly explained to me it was herbal, and there was no caffeine in it, and so they got their tea time back. Anyway, that's a bit of an introduction to why the comment was there was only a few tears. There was many after that, but somehow we made it all through, and then we came to the time when it had to be official. And so now I'm going to just turn the mic over to Trish, and she's going to tell you everything about transcripts.
I don't know how I feel about this. I hope to help you, encourage you in what you're doing. I don't feel like this is prescriptive at all. I don't have websites to send you to or anything like that. Just some of the things that we learned along the way. And so is anyone as nervous as I am right now? Like, am I the only one? Yeah, okay. How many of you are in the midst of doing transcripts or in the midst, like, is this preparatory? For most of you, is it preparatory or doing them? Okay. So if you're, for the preparatory people, like when you're looking ahead thinking, okay, in about a year or 2 years or 3 years, you're going to be doing transcripts. My primary encouragement is find a way to organize what you've done with your children. It's easy if you have textbooks and you can keep them on a shelf, you know, okay, we did biology, we did math. That's a great way. But if you haven't got there yet, find what works for you. If it's a computer program, if it's photocopying the front page of your math textbook or your English textbook, find a way that works for you. In our house, I'm a paper person. I like lists and I like notes. And the computer was my enemy because I did not know there was a save as button. I saved everything, but I could never find it because I didn't know what I saved it as. So if your computer, if you're techie, it is like step into the modern age and enjoy it. If you're old fashioned like me, I had a bin and important pieces of paper got tossed in the bin. Yeah, about this big. And then I would sit down with whoever I was doing the transcript with and go through little pieces of paper and going, oh yeah, you volunteered for 120 hours. And then it was not a good way to do it. But it worked and we got through. Everything we did in the physical form of a transcript was free. I didn't purchase anything, so I spent a lot of time. HSLDA, the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, they have a website where there was like links for free transcripts. So I spent a lot of time on there playing with transcripts that I might be interested in, and if they were hard to use, I didn't use them. Because again, I lost a lot of them, because I'd think, oh, I have to go help somebody do this, and I'd press save, and I'd come back to it, and I couldn't find where it was, and I'd have to start all over again. So that's, try to find a way to help yourself be prepared. And anything that you, if your child volunteers, try to find a way to keep track of it that builds into the education that they're thinking they want to pursue. An easy, my one daughter thought she wanted to be a vet. So when she started volunteering at a vet clinic, that's like sort of a no-brainer. Like, that's gonna be helpful. If she would have volunteered somewhere else, I would have had to find a way to say, okay, this built into her leadership skills, or this built into teamwork, or whatever it is. So find a way, even in the early, like sort of that grades, especially by the time you get to grade 9, because that's usually what you're going to be submitting to the post-secondary sources that they're going to be applying to. They usually want to see grade 9, grade 10, grade 11, and grade 12. If you don't grade your children, like if you don't have, on the Manitoba Homeschooling Association, or the forms that we can submit, you don't have to assign marks to your children. Some people do. If you have just always marked satisfactory and not put that they got 86% in math and 41% in English language arts and they're fantastic at phys ed, if you didn't assign a mark on your transcript somewhere, you're going to have to introduce your grading rubric, whether it's an A, B, C, or a 90, 80, 70%. Find out what works for you, but somehow on your transcript designate that if you are giving an A minus to someone, that in your homeschooling world, that might be 86%. And typically, you work backwards from like grade 12. That's probably the most relevant part of what a university or college or technical school is going to be looking at. So typically set it up grade 12, grade 11, grade 10, grade 9. Whether you do it in years or blocks, that is totally up to you. Find a free template that you can work with. For us, it meant negotiating a lot of grades for my children because I made them look into what their school wanted. My girls who applied to U of M knew exactly what they wanted to do, so they went to the U of M website and they recorded, okay, I need biology and I need this. So of course, they sort of put we listed the biologies and the maths and all of that near the top of grade 12 for them with their marks. But for my son, who was going to do an apprenticeship, it was more his mechanical skills. And so again, in the volunteer hours, we listed how working on a horse trailer built into electronics or body mechanics or different things like that. A colleague of mine who also homeschooled her children, she did her transcripts very different than mine. I did them like sort of in year by year, and she just did it in like, I wish I could explain it, in blocks. And she just hit everything that MITT wanted for this one child to apply there. She hit everything that another technical college would want for her children. All this probably sounds really overwhelming. My encouragement is find a way to be organized, to be, especially when you have more than one child. And it's going to look different with each child and probably start sooner than you think you need to start. You don't have to start when they're in grade one, but you know, maybe by grade 7 or grade 8, start thinking, okay, now I've got to start keeping track of what you did for math. And depending on your math program, they might not have geometry till grade 11, but your child might do it in your math program in grade 9. Okay. The other thing I would encourage you is, you're raising adults who want to pursue an education, so involve them. Have them research the U, like if it's U of M, I'm just going to use that, or Red River College. Let them find out what they need. And for the children of ours that went post-secondary, they did all of the legwork. Then the hardest part was actually sitting at the computer and putting what we did on paper and trying not to have any spelling errors, but because I'm a terrible speller. But for some of my kids, it was really clear cut. When you're going into baking and pastry, it's easy to highlight your arts and crafts and different things like that. When you're going into U1 and you want to take more maths or sciences, then it's pretty easy. It's when you're not sure what, when your child's not sure what they want to do. Typically, if you would look through, you know, a Winnipeg Regional School or a Hanover School, the high school years list what kids learn in grade 9. The school lists what the kids cover in grade 10, grade 11, and you sort of want to hit all of those. I never sort of kept track of credits because it just sounded really hard. I just kept track of what my kids did, and they always did math, they always did science, we always did phys ed, and lots of their education was self-directed, but I did get lots of hints from the websites that that Hanover School, or whether it's the St. Anne Division or if it's Winnipeg or, you know, whatever region you might be living in, they'll list what your child is learning that year, and that can be really helpful. It does change over the years, but they'll, whether they list it as credits or course hours, it's a free, easy resource to find out what your kids need, and you can work on your transcript that way. And that's what we did. We sat down, and with one daughter, I negotiated grades because I never assigned her grades. And I said, okay, like, you really liked biology and it was easy for you. And she said, yeah, but you know, the tests were really hard. And so I probably got about 70. And I'm like, okay, I disagree with you. Like, I'm not going to give you 90, but I think that 80 is reasonable. I had another daughter who did do lots of testing so I could prove that they had 80% or 90% or whatever. So that was the longest part, was sitting down and going, okay, this is what we did in grade 12, this is what we did in grade 11, this is what we did in grade 10. And then by the time we got to grade 9, I thought I was a superhero because I had done so much homework with these kids. So that's why I say, if you're thinking of preparing a transcript, maybe start sooner so that you don't have to work backwards like I did, because I learned by the fourth child not to do that. I was a slow learner. I spent a lot of time playing with transcripts, and in the end, it worked out really well. Like, it, the kids got into the programs that they wanted to, and I survived making a transcript, and I did learn how to use the Save As button, and I can find all of my kids' transcripts on the computer.
So that's the part of the technical part of the transcript thing. Trish touched on it, but a transcript, you may want to consider it a necessary evil. For a lot of us that have educated our kids at home, the emphasis wasn't on, or I should speak for us. The emphasis wasn't on a certain mark, a certain grade. It was about how they were growing, how they were maturing, their education, what they knew, what their interests were, how they were starting to articulate them around the dinner table, right? And yet there comes a time in life when now you have another pursuit, you want to take the next step, and there's criteria to get in. Just a little bit of a funny story. They're 2 years less a day apart. And the youngest, when I took over the home education, Zara was doing her math and everything, and I'd come in from the barn, I'd say, how's it going? And, oh yeah, good, I got it, Dad. And I'd say to Caleb and Anna, how's the science going? Oh, it's going great, yeah, no problem, right? And after about 6 months, I realized that Caleb had just figured out that the answers in the back of the book, he just copied them down, then he got his sister to do it. So there was a lot of discipline that went along with that. And then Caleb actually had to do that science again the next year, which made him, you know, the discipline lasted for a long time. I think he still might hold it against me, but we are talking quite regularly. Zara, on the other hand, I didn't check any of her math, and we did Matthew C. She was less than 11 in one of them, and I looked and I went, oh no, Zara. One of the very first lessons, you missed the concept and everything is wrong. And I was like just brokenhearted for her, right? And I was like, oh man. So she kept doing school through the summer and caught up. Well, then, so fast forward from the time she's like 10 years old until about 12 and a half, by that time she's caught up with the older two in math and in science. And they decided that they wanted to go to U of M. And so they did both get accepted, but neither of them went. So I bought them a Jeep. As soon as they said they weren't doing that, it was going to save us so much money. but in preparation for that, I said, okay, guys, I have not been one to test you, right? All the tests at the back of the book, do them if you want. I don't care. I just want you to understand. And now they're going to preparing for universities. And guys, you got to do all the tests. You guys got to know how to take a test. And so they sat down at the end of their, I think this was the final year, right? They were doing advanced, oh no, I guess it was the, whatever, grade 12, physics, chemistry, whatnot. And so they start, you know, like home educated children, they have such an advantage on everyone else. I remember like back in the days of the dinosaurs when I was in grade 12 and 13, you know, you got assigned this portion of your chemistry book, right? Well, just do and answer questions A, B, and F, right? And then move on. Well, our kids go through and they do the whole book, like this thick. They answer every question, they do every practice lesson and everything. So then I said, okay, now you gotta do the tests. Well, I had them, like you guys, you guys gotta nail these, right? So they do the tests and I mark them. And I come in and it's like they're failing. And I was like, guys, what are you doing? Right? And I guess I speak with my expression sometimes and it devastates girls. and I look up and it's like there's tears in both of their eyes. And I'm going, no, okay, let's forget it. Let's go to McDonald's, okay? And then we'll hit Timmy's and then we'll come back and we'll talk about it some more. And then by the next day, I was like, okay, guys, no. I was stupid. I didn't know what I was doing. Like, forgive me. Every university course, they mark on the curve, right? So even if you got 50, everybody else would have got 30. So you get 90 and they get 70. You guys are doing great, right? And so I had to do the encouragement thing for them. But after that, then they learned how to, I guess my whole point in this is that it was funny and I like to relive it, but they were starting to take on their preparation for the next season in life. So that was the thing that I took away from that was I needed to transition them from being assigned what to do. Okay, there's your chemistry book, you have to do it, you're doing it on your own, great, to you guys need to take ownership now of where you want to get to and you got to make it happen. So in the transcript side of things, there's the side that you have to do as a parent, right? And Trish did a good job at saying, start early, don't think you're putting down too much detail, have it there as a resource, so when you go to make that transcript at the end, you have all the source material you need to be able to make a reasonable transcript that isn't going to be too critical of them, but also isn't going to paint them as being Einstein when they're not. And but ultimately a transcript is so they can take that next step, get into the program or whatever they want to get into. The part that they need to do is very important. So not the technical part of the transcript, but what's going to be required of me to get into this thing that I think I want to pursue? And if you're going to start marking things down in grade 9 for your part of the transcript, encourage your kids, as soon as they have an inkling, like even if it's general, like I want to get into science, or I want to get into culinary skills, or I want to get into agriculture, or I want to be a midwife, or whatever it might be, like medicals, get them to start doing their part. What am I going to need to focus on in these years so that I'm prepared at that point to go as seamlessly as I can into the next part of my education? So the transcript, if you just do everything for them and say, well, you're going to need this and that, you're missing a really good time for them to be able to take that transitionary step that they need to being the ones that are doing the footwork, the legwork, to understand what's going to be required of them. And through doing that, it'll empower them to continue it on when they start getting, you know, professors that are grumpy, even grumpier than their dad was, or whatever it might be, right? So I think that's all I have to say right now. You take it from here.
Like I said, not a lot of preparation, but sort of home educating your children at home is just an education in itself. And if you guys have questions or even a good resource or something, like we happen to use lots through the Homeschool Legal Defense Association because they had free stuff, but I know everybody Googles everything now, so I'm sure you can probably find better resources. But if anybody has a specific question, I know this is not, go ahead.
So I just before coming to this session, I spoke with the Manitoba office, homeschooling office, and they said that they now offer 3 templates for transcripts that if parents would like, you can contact them directly and request that. And they will send them, you choose which one is your favorite, and then they'll send it to you. But also, something that just came up, and I think this is, I'm curious if you came across this, for Apologia Sciences, the general science and the physical science, most of us have done it, at least a few of us, have taught it in grade 7 and 8. Those actually count as grade 9 and 10 math. And so what's actually has happened, and I have a friend, I have another homeschooling mom friend who's not here, but her son is going to LCS next year. LCS did not count his grade 7 and 8 math as 9 and 10 math. So they counted because he did biology last year and chemistry this year. So he did biology in grade 9, chemistry in grade 10. They're making him redo his grade 11 science in order to count, because they will not count the general and physical science because it was not marked as 9 and 10. So the homeschooling office, interestingly, and I'm curious if you've actually come across this. So this is a question. What did you do and how did you do that? Because from what the homeschooling office said is that, and this is somewhat scary in some senses, but as parents, we can notify the homeschooling office to change our notifications for 9 and 10, for grade 9 and 10, to say the sciences, the general science, and what was all like. So be detailed in the sense of like, when, you know, they say, this is what we studied in general science. Describe what you studied, not just like general science, Apologia. That doesn't count for university transcripts. But because what's gonna happen is you're gonna need the stamped reviewed form from the homeschooling office. And from what she just told me is that many schools, now not necessarily the U of M, but many schools are not requiring transcripts anymore because there are more homeschoolers across our great country here that are that we don't have grades and we don't have course numbers. So they're not necessarily requiring that hard, but they do require the stamped forms from the homeschooling office. So if your form doesn't say for grade 9 and 10 the appropriate sciences because you did them in 7 and 8, did you come across that? Is that an issue?
A long time ago, the homeschool office used to give a letter saying, like, Trisha and Phil have in fact educated their children. It was self-directed, and it wasn't, it was a letter.
Okay.
It didn't list courses. It just said our children did what we said they did with a stamp, like a notarized stamp. So I got that for our first child. I did not get it for any of our other children. And that's one of the reasons, if you can find a way to keep track of what is covered in general science. So for me, my kids photocopied the, like this book covers, they would photocopy it from their textbook, put their name on it and put it in my bin. Because I knew then that general science covered the ecosystem or it, like whatever it was. And I had heard that Apologia for general science and for physical science could be used in high school. I put them on their high school. But like I said, that's one of the reasons I strongly encourage to keep a way of keeping record of what, because Matthew C doesn't mean anything to them, or Life of Fred Math, or whatever. But if you know that they did geometry or algebra or whatever it was on a certain year, just find a way to that it's accessible. Lots of universities and colleges are going to an interview type process or a portfolio type of process. When we first started working with Red River College, they told my daughter that chances are, coming out of high school, she probably wouldn't get in, and that she would have to do some sort of math and English like equivalency. She was really discouraged, but she still applied. Part of her course was a portfolio. Once she submitted her portfolio, they never talked about doing a math equivalency or an English equivalency or anything. She got in. They just had to figure out how to make it work. So, yeah.
So as in portfolio, would be exactly what subject you taught, exactly what in biology we learned, cellular biology, this and that, health and all that. That's what you understand as portfolio.
Okay, I kept track of that, but her portfolio was specific to her program. And so she had to do some sort of a writing. So she's going into creative communications. So she had to do some sort of presentation on, like through a lens, camera, video, or something. She had to do something literary, and she had one other piece. And she had, they gave her, like say she had three or four things to submit. They gave her a selection of two for this part, two for that part, and she'd say, this is for, you know, question 1A, this is for question 2, but I'm gonna do B. And she submitted that to them. And then, what was that? It was what the college wanted for everybody. It wasn't just because she was homeschooled, it was part of their entrance. So they're moving, and so I think from there, we've seen a move to universities across the country doing more in the way of interviews. And portfolios like this. Yeah, and then there's a question up there.
Yeah, to clarify what you mean is that the transcript is the list that she was describing the rest of the time. The portfolio is examples of their work, right?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure, like a high school student, what you have in the portfolio, right?
Exactly.
I'll make a portfolio.
I had a friend who, for her transcripts, she didn't keep track of anything on paper. Everything for her was like a video, either a recorded memo on her phone or a video. And she made her kids actually like click on her voice memos for like, I won't tell you their names, but like number one, there's your voice memos. And they're like, oh yeah, I did do that in grade 9 or whatever it is. And then here's the video proof that we did something else. But yeah, the portfolio is usually specific to the program that they're applying for. Your transcript is you empowering your child to keep track of what they did for advanced chemistry or mechanics, whatever it is that they're doing.
When you get to the transcript time, you're actually at a place where your child is, I guess they're kids, depending how well they're behaved they are at the moment, but your child is no longer a child, they're a young adult, and they have to take it on themselves, and so they have to own it. I know I'm stressing this, but if you do too much for them, it's not going to help them necessarily, and as has been mentioned a couple times now, there's an interview process with some schools, and that they have to know. They've got to know what they want. They have to understand how well educated they are and be able to present that. We had our one daughter was in grade 12, 11. She was old enough to drive because she rolled the car on the way to school. Yeah. Anyway, she wanted to get into baking and pastry, so she applied at Louis Riel School Division and in the technical school, Louis Riel Technical School. And so I went in with her. And we sat down, and the guy just looked straight at her, the principal or whatever it was, and started talking to Alexandra. And I maybe introduced it. And he had these questions for her, and she just, this is why I want to do baking and pastry. And then he said, well, what else would you do if this didn't work out? And instantly she said, well, music. I play the violin, and I think I would like to get into that. And he was so impressed with the fact that I wasn't talking for her, that she knew that by the time we left, he was looking into ways that we could apply for tax rebates and that she could get in under the catchment so it wasn't going to cost us anything, right? And so it's because Alexandra knew what she wanted and was able to articulate it. So as you're coming to the transcript time, you know, be aware of that. Like, help your kids to be confident and help them to, or actually push them into having to do the legwork on their own. You know, what course you want to get into, is there going to be a portfolio requirement? Is there going to be an interview requirement? And let them do it, because that's the season they're in. And it will really impress those that they're going to interact with in the potential direction they want to go if they can speak for themselves and are confident in it.
I don't know if everybody could hear, the lady at the back was just saying about, she was talking about a specific program and a letter from the homeschooling office. So I don't know if you didn't hear that, and I could ask her to say it with the microphone, or if everybody could hear it. There will, if you want your child to have a certificate too, we were told, you know, you can basically go to Staples and buy one. Really, what you're trying to do with a home-educated transcript and certificate is be able to empower your child to represent themselves on paper, but also in person, to the institute that they're applying to. And it's great if your kids can say, yeah, I volunteered 150 hours, but if they can't tell the interviewer what they learned or how it built into their lives or how it helped their education, all they've done is volunteer. I have a colleague, and when I did my education, there wasn't really an interview process. Over the years, there are more. And so this one colleague of mine went on YouTube and watched a whole bunch of these mini interviews. And so she came away from YouTube going, okay, I have to go in there. I have to be confident. I have to be comfortable with silence. Like, she had three takeaways. She walked into her interview, probably as nervous as can be, shook the person's hand, introduced herself, sat down as if she had nothing to lose, and waited for them to ask a question as if, like, yeah, this is just like going for coffee. And, but that's what YouTube said, and that's what she learned from all these many interviews. I'm thinking, wow, I wouldn't have looked up YouTube and figured that out. But she got in. So maybe your child, most kids are really well socialized when they're homeschooled, but make sure that they know what's required. Like, and one of them is being able to introduce yourself, shake a hand, and answer questions. It's great if your parents can go with you, but if your parents have to do all the answering of the questions, are they gonna do your education too? And so we really worked with the kids for a transcript that worked for them. My takeaway is I should have done it sooner. I wish I wouldn't have. I thought I was so organized because I had everything, like I knew what they did. I hadn't put it on paper yet, and boy, oh boy, that was a lot of work for me. That's not my strength. So that's my encouragement is maybe at the end of grade 9, like before you go on summer vacation, maybe put it on paper or in the computer and then start grade 10 and you're good to go. And then cut and paste is probably easier. That's the other thing I didn't do very well. I cut and couldn't find it, and it was pasted into other things, and it was just a disaster. any other questions? Or if someone's done a transcript and they have a really, like a huge takeaway that they could share, that'd be great.
Well, I can tell you some of the soft stuff. I was probably pretty hard in it, but Evan's wondering what all could go into the transcript, things that aren't, you know, documented as far as a mark for chemistry or a mark for algebra or a mark for language arts or whatever it might be. I didn't even see the transcripts. Like, I did my block, and then I got to the end, and I just said, I'm done, honey. I'm retiring, right? And so Trish did that stuff. The things that would have counted were, they all worked in the barn, right? They all had to gather eggs. They all had to help sweep under the cages and do this and that. So all those skills, then you take those and you say they're competent in whatever it might be, right? Little story. So when we moved here, when our oldest daughter was 5, we started to run a farm for friends. We had lots of chickens. We had one barn that was still antiquated. You had to hand gather the eggs, 8,500 birds. I was terrible at it. To take like 2.5 hours when I started. I would get Abigail, who wanted to tag along because I had Pepperettes and Pepsi back in the day. I was on the hard stuff. And she'd come along with me, and at first she would push the cart, and I'd leave a few eggs in the bottom row, and the chickens would peck at her. And by the end, 8 months later, she could gather. She would take 2 eggs in each hand. She could only gather the bottom row, but she'd gather 1/3 of the barn. I'd gather 2/3. And I paid her 50 cents a box, like everybody. And so then she went up to and bought things for her brothers and sisters or something, an umbrella or something, or a toy. Anyway, that's home education. And all that, if you keep track of those kind of things, then you can be creative. Transcripts, they're creative writing, really, right? Like, don't be bound by exactly what you did. Look at it as, what do they want? And don't lie, but we have given our kids an education in so many ways beyond what we think and what you can document, that be creative with it. And like Evan's saying, you know, if they tinkered on four-wheelers and you know, Abigail helped me one time tear down a two-stroke engine, right? And so that gets incorporated somehow into the transcript in a certain way. How Trish did it? Well, I guess I better let her tell you.
So Evan, when our kids wanted horses, or a daughter specifically wanted a horse, and to move a horse from where you don't own it to where you own it requires a trailer. And so Phil bought a trailer that needed fixing up, and part of Abigail getting a horse was helping getting lighting on the trailer going, some body work, and different things like that. It got to a point where when I made her write what she wanted to be when she grew up, she wanted to be a welder. So, but again, so my lack was I thought all of this would be clear. Like, I wrote it all down. Like, we did welding, we did electrical on a horse trailer. And then when the day came, I'm like, how do I put that in the transcript? And so my kids did volunteer hours, my kids did music, and so I listed those specifically for all of my children, and then I did farm. And a lot of them were specifically like welding a horse trailer, like, or electrical, and... Yes, that's right. So I started with their, depending on where, what vein they looked like they were going, I usually put it pretty near the top. Like, for my two that I knew were looking to go into medicine and things like that, math and science made the top. Their volunteer hours and their farm experience were next. Because that's, to me, what made my kids stand out. I've girls who are not afraid to climb into something if Phil needs help fixing a feed motor. I wouldn't do that. Like, but so that mattered to me. So I put those near the top. And I always listed physical education because we did participate in gym nights. But I kept track of like when Caleb rebuilt a sled or a four-wheeler, I kept track of all of that. It was easier for Caleb, my son, because he was looking at going into an apprenticeship for mechanics. So I just had to, he works at a dairy barn, he can operate a skid steer. Like, and I could go blah, 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 blah. Well, based on the transcript that I picked. So playing with templates is another important thing. For my kids that we were totally going sciencey, I did not have so much free text. It was just math, they got 85%, biology got 81%, whatever.
On the curve.
Yeah, on Phil's curve. but kids where I needed a little more play, I used a free text transcript a little bit more so I could put in there. And my kids volunteered at a mom's group at a church, and like even my son, and I put that on like all the way, like until they stopped doing it. Because I guess as a mom, I wanted these people to see my child as an adult with skills, like not just book education.
Yeah, that's a good point. A lot of this stuff you'll do like that is only for your own benefit, but it's very, very valuable. You may not need it, like you fill out your transcript for university, this and that. They're not going to ask you necessarily to prove that you did 110 hours. But if you know that the Manitoba government requires that to have a credit, that's invaluable information. And then you have a guideline as you go along to have our children prepared themselves enough, and you have criteria that you're going to use for yourself, that when you do make the transcript, you have a confidence, and so does your child, that they're ready for that next step. So, very good point. Yeah, this lady was saying, in Manitoba, it's 110 hours for high school credit, you said, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so that's a great piece of information.
Yeah, or like a half credit for like...
Yeah, so half credit for 55 hours.
So there's mention that universities are going more towards interviews, but definitely a lot are competitive in terms of marks. And a lot of them are also doing like a U1 or something, so that's what actually is competitive, not the high school grades. But in terms of, you don't want to just make stuff up and yeah, make your kid look amazing. They might be amazing, just like they might be under a high school teacher, probably not as amazing. But how do you go about finding those marks? And is it better then to do testing? It's not required, but is it better to do testing so you can have I tested them, this is what they are, and that's kind of more on the range. Like, how do you choose between a 98 and a 85? Or like, and especially when it comes to those competitive grades.
Well, that's the beauty of home education. You get to decide. And really, there is no prescriptive answer on that one, I don't believe, except truth, right? And wanting to reflect the the education, the understanding your child has. You don't want to sell them short. You don't want to present them as having knowledge that they don't, because neither are going to be helpful to them. As far as the mark goes, if you've done marks all the way along, if you've always tested them and you have a definitive mark, well, right on, use that one. But I know for us, we didn't do that. And so it comes to a point where, like I said, it's creative writing in a sense, not that you get to just say what you want, because we're like, that's not going to make Jesus happy, right? But it is, you have to guess at it. You got to say, okay, well, what is it? Like, is it an 80? Is it a 90? And like Trish started saying, ABC, well, how do you convert that into what this institution needs just to fit into their file, right? So you want to follow up on that?
And I was just going to say, typically your U1 or whatever university or college, like if there are general requirements for every student that first year, that's going to be when they set themselves apart as like a 98 percentile student or a 80 or a 40. Right? So yeah, you want to give them a leg up, but you want to be honest and find a way that works for you. My one daughter who I did not test told me I failed her because she didn't know how to do a bubble test. And I was like, if the hardest thing in your life is figuring out how to do a bubble test, I have not failed. But anyways, she likes to tease me. So she did figure out how to do a bubble test and she got into a post-secondary education. So even my failure with a bubble test wasn't that bad. But I saw someone maybe with a question over here, but I'm not trying to put anyone on the spot. You can all do it, and you can all empower your kids to do it. Try not to worry about it. You haven't ruined your children so far, you know. You've given them an education, and let them shine as adults, even if, you know, they're not quite ready for this big adult world. At 16, at 17, they're getting thrown into the world, and if you've prepared them, then let them take some responsibility. And, you know, don't let them be 98 percentile students if they weren't. Like, don't let them lie either. But it doesn't have to be just a make work project that you do on your own. You can do it in conjunction with your child. And then I think they really own it then. And then when they're in school, they'll own that education too. And it's a lot of work putting your kids all the way through, but way to go if you're ready to start the process of getting transcripts ready, or if you're just thinking about it, way to be organized. And you've done a good job. Don't give up.
So I'll share a little bit more. So our two girls that wanted to go to university, they both bailed. The one now got a job delivering parts, and then did this and did that. Now she's working at a tractor dealership, and they love her, right? They gave her a raise before she started her first day, and then they brought her in early for the 3 month and gave her another $3 an hour. And they just keep saying, like, it's just compliments, compliments, compliments. Our youngest daughter, and I may tear up here, but a week ago she quit working for me and went and was working at a physio place because she did so she's 20 now. On her own last year, she did a nutrition course and a personal trainer course. And it should have taken a year, and she did it in 6 months or whatever, right? And I say that because our kids, educated at home, are often have a depth to their character and to their understanding through education that we don't understand how deep it is and how much it's going to shine when they get out there, right? And so Zara was day one. The person said, usually we send people home after 4 hours because they can't retain anymore. You've been here for 6 hours and you're answering phones already. Like, they're, so she's only been there 2 weeks and they're already, like, this week already, the one lady said, the office manager, what kind of hours do you need? And, you know, it's not full time. She said, oh, it's all right. I can still work for my dad. And I said, did you tell her how good I pay? Maybe they'll give you a little more money. Anything with pay, any question. And so part of the discussion even last night was, guys, like, we've seen this, it's character that matters. It's you guys are willing to lead because you know how to take responsibility and you take it seriously. These are the kind of things that we're giving our kids through a home education that is going to shine no matter what they do. If they use the transcript, great. If they choose a post-secondary education, that's fine, right? If they want to, whatever they do, they're going to shine because of the character that has been built into them, because they can see a problem and tackle it and move through it to a solution. And that's what's happening with all of our kids. Like, whatever they do, they're succeeding because of who they are on the inside, because of the character that's been built in them. And home education is a great way to do it. And so, way to go, guys. Just don't get overwhelmed. Do the homework. Do your homework for it so that you're prepared regardless what road they take. And, you know, it's we're raising kids that have Jesus on the inside and people see it on the outside. So keep at it.